evil is called good and good evil. How has our nation changed so dramatically, so quickly?
We've gone from a Christian nation to criminalizing Christianity.
This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
How has it happened? It's happened through the changing of the definition of words so that they now mean the opposite.
As George Orwell wrote in his famous book called 1984, war is peace, freedom is slavery, and now homosexuality is gay, abortion is choice, Islam is peace, and Christianity is evil.
David Kapelian, VP of WorldNetDaily.com. David Kapelian is the author of The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by Lawless Government and Godless Culture. The words socialist and Marxist have lost their meaning, so tell us about that.
Marxism has changed. The original idea of Marxism was we're going to do it violently. We're going to have a war, and we're going to, like, kill the bad guys, and we're going to take their land and their money and the wealth and give it to all the poor and exploit it. Well, that didn't come about in the U.S. So what the early Marxists in the U.S. said, Marx was right, but his theory didn't work out. So they figured out how to make it work, do it gradually rather than quickly through revolution. And the one roadblock they had to remove was Christianity. And so they had to undermine Christianity. And so Marxists burrowing away like termites at the spiritual and moral foundation of America through our colleges and universities. It's even the churches. And so today you have massive confusion, and a great deal of Marxist thinking has been infused into academia. The colleges are the most left-wing places in America. What they've done is pretty well destroyed the country. The left, thanks to the Supreme Court, has redefined marriage. But you can have Supreme Court saying 2 plus 2 equals 17. It doesn't. But it has created a lot of conflict and confusion. But it's not only redefining marriage. The left has redefined all of our core values. Equality has become inequality. Justice. Justice has become injustice. Equality has become inequality, where things, they're opposite. This is what this word used to mean. And now let's look at how it's used now. It means the opposite. We have one pro-choice group trying to get the Catholic Church indicted at the United Nations for torture, under the torture statutes, because it causes women discomfort when they are told that killing their baby is a bad thing. Therefore, under the UN, I can almost barely even say this because it's so insane, but the way the UN defines torture, speaking the truth can cause discomfort. That is torture, to speak the truth. When reality is that abortion, especially late-term abortion after 20 weeks where all the pain receptors are fully switched on, it's almost too horrible to speak of, but you are literally tearing little human beings apart, limb from limb, sucking their brains out. It's horrific. We do these things to little unborn babies that feel everything under the banner of women's health, choice, and things like that.
The awful butcher, the abortionist that would actually deliver the babies and kill them outside of the womb, and I started crying. The one little baby went into the toilet and it was swimming around trying to get out. And it died.
We're actually killing babies, but we put ourselves to sleep in this whole thing of women's health. Words take us away from the reality, and it's a constitutional right. This is a form of insanity. Ultimately, it's spiritual. It says in the book of John that the darkness hates the light. It's really true. This is reality. There is a God. There is good. There is evil. They're both trying to recruit us.
That comes back to words. So that abortion is simply pro-choice. So that homosexuality is simply being gay. There's nothing gay about transforming something bad into something good. Islam now is not a religion of hate. Islam is a religion of peace. Islamic terrorism is simply workplace violence. Social justice is really government confiscation of private property. Injustice. These words have been totally changed to mean exactly the opposite.
That's a very good bit you just said. We've been hypnotized by these words, losing sight of the reality they stand for. They use words to get what they want.
But think of that same-sex marriage. I mean, honestly, a generation ago, we would have thought that's crazy. And now we're told to embrace it, celebrate it, not just tolerate it. And if we don't, we're the bigots. We're hate-filled and homophobic.
Kim Davis, the Kentucky County Clerk, spent 5 days in jail, and we have many, many other people who have lost their entire businesses. Their whole livelihood has been destroyed. Which, by the way, the left doesn't really care about transgendered people and stuff like that. They like the issue because it's a spear with which they can attack their true enemy, which is Christianity. So homosexuality is the one issue that is being used to criminalize for the first time. When you send somebody to jail, we're talking criminalized. It's a reality. few years ago, the idea that you're going to have men going into a girl's bathroom in a school was like, well, no one's going to agree with that. Just a few years later, we have, if you don't agree with that, you can be prosecuted. You're a lawbreaker if you don't want 18-year-old boy going into your daughter's bathroom or locker room at school. People get undressed and shower in locker rooms in schools. But we have laws now, if you are of the opposite gender, but you feel more comfortable as that gender, you don't have to have had any surgery or anything like that. You just, I'm a young male, but I just feel more like a female. I only go in the women's locker room when they're undressing. It's insane. Insane. Completely unhinged from reality. Now, if you say, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, you are a hater, a bigot, potentially a lawbreaker. And that's part of why I say the snapping of the American mind. In the scheme of history, the centuries of history, the changes that are happening in America right now is like a snap. It's happening in the course of just a very few years, that a few years ago, you'd be considered insane to say that two men can get married to each other.
That's right.
Now, just a few years later, if you don't believe that, you're evil.
You go to jail.
Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. That's exactly what we're seeing right now.
What we're seeing is a recreation of reality. Because of the liberal fantasy world, young Americans are being deceived to hate their own country in this epic war against capitalism and Christianity. And it's really all about lying, isn't it?
It is. Students being taught to hate America. The military historian William Lind describes colleges today in America. He calls them small ivy-covered North Koreas. I don't think people really understand what's happening on the college campuses. It's not like when they went to college. It's not even like it was 10, 15 years ago. It is so bad, the policing of speech and the punishing of microaggressions and trigger warnings before you read classic literature. Colleges today are literally teaching young people pathological thinking. Your parents are paying $60,000 a year to being trained in pathological means sick. Sick thinking. This is what we are actually training in these young people before they go out in the real world. Think about this. You're being taught in college to take great offense if somebody says something considered offensive, like America is a land of opportunity. I kid you not. Word for word, those are actual statements that are now considered, according to Dartmouth College, for one, to be prejudiced, to say America is a land of opportunity.
And how about just God bless America? That was considered offensive by this Taryn Hathaway of Salinas, California. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. This was a little girl drew as her art project a picture of the American flag with the words God bless America written right in the middle of it. Her teacher said this was offensive. How could a little girl's drawing of the American flag says God bless America be possibly considered offensive? So we have a spiritual polarization. Places of power, major institutions, are not just they have a different ideology. No, it's actually at war with basic Judeo-Christian values.
This radical change in America is the result of a relentless campaign of intimidating, ridiculing, persecuting countless good people into finally abandoning their moral principles or at least shutting up about them.
Yeah, and that actually brings to what to do. So we have something positive here.
Yeah, really.
Is that we need to embrace our faith and God's laws. If you understand that you cannot conquer a virtuous people and you cannot conquer people who hold to your religious beliefs and your sanity, they depend on making you angry and upset to the point that a lot of people I know don't vote. They don't watch the news anymore. It's just too upsetting. That's a mistake because the bad guys win when the good guys stay home. Back in Jesus' day, it was worse. They were crucifying people on the roadsides. It's not as though we have a corner on evil and problems today. We do need to learn to deal with things with patience and forbearance that comes through faith. And really, I'll just put it plainly, to not be intimidated, not be angry. You don't have to strike back with anger or to oppose it with anger. You just, no thanks. I have my beliefs. I have my God. I know what's right. This is insane, and you're just not going to get to me.
So that if we let these atrocities and insanities of the left fuel our anger, that plays right into this diabolical scheme. So if pro-lifers do violence to abortionists, it gives the left reasons for more strict control and loss of our freedom. So it results in tyranny. But Jesus said, said to love our enemies.
Yes,
and
amen.
Richard Wurmbrand, who was 14 years in a Romanian prison, he was tortured for Christ. He was starved, and yet he said, I hate communism, but I love the communist people. So we can overcome their hate through love and forgiveness.
Yeah, he was a wonderful example. I commend his book, Tortured for Christ, to show that there are real people. And this is not somebody back in the first century. He died in 2001. He died fairly recently at the age of 91 after being tortured and living 30 feet underground in a Romanian prison. But here's a guy, he's not Christ. He's a regular mortal person. He discovered something beautiful, and many other people have as well. And we all need to find that, because otherwise we're not going to make it, because there's so much chaos, there's so much evil in the country. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless to turn the country around. But the first step in turning it around is you need to be the change you wish to see in the world.
I love that too, because Jesus is the change in us. He changes us. He transforms us. And it's Christ's life in us. And I love that scripture, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. So it helps us.
Yes, very true, Jerry. They don't know what to do with it. The bad guys, what do they do with that? And I think the pro-life movement, more than any other part of the conservative Christian world, exemplifies. They really are love your enemy type of movement. The women having abortions are not the enemy, of course. They're victims too. But it has turned people around. Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade. The reason she got turned around into a pro-lifer was because of the influence of the people praying for her outside the abortion clinic where she was working. And she talked to them, and she was pierced by their love.
Well, in your chapter, Is There Hope for America? Half the country has been corrupted and indoctrinated or helplessly, hopelessly dependent on the state. But the other half are right-thinking Americans who haven't abandoned their basic beliefs, patriots who love this country. Half of the Christians don't bother to vote. God will determine who gets into office. We should focus on the gospel, not politics. And that's exactly what our enemies want. Keep Christians away from the voting booth.
There are some churches, some denominations that actually teach don't vote. That's unfortunate and irresponsible. It's a tragedy that you have people that don't vote, because the left-wing get-out-the-vote machine is going to go and dig up everybody, dead or alive, legal or illegal. And that, by the way, is a proven fact. There is vote fraud. Almost all of it is on the left. Or they say, no, I'm not getting my hands dirty in politics. I'm just going to spread the gospel. Excuse me, that's an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Jesus was full of words about helping the needy, about protecting those widows and orphans. We don't do that by supporting a socialist government that's going to hold a gun to your head and take your money and say we're helping the poor. The Christians need to realize this is their country, and that there is an intention to make things so bad that they burn out. They're so upset when they hear the news. They can't stand it. So they turn the news off, and then that eventually turns into not knowing what's going on. They're just going to stay home and not elect anybody because it doesn't make any difference. They're all the same anyway. Not true. That is suicide. That is conceding defeat. We have a system still intact. Get active. Get out there. And you know what? It's a kind of a tonic for being upset to actually get active and do something. It's like exercise for depression. You get out and do something. It's good for your soul. We cannot give up. It's the most disgraceful thing when I hear that Christians don't vote. If you don't vote, don't complain and say, oh, things are so bad. I don't want to hear it, because you're part of the problem.
Yeah. And we had one assistant pastor that was asked, who are you going to vote for in a certain election? He says, well, I don't vote. He said, God will put in office who he wants to put in office. This guy couldn't believe that the pastor of the church was feeling that way. So later that evening, that same pastor came to this guy and he said, will you help put the chairs out in the fellowship hall? Richard says, let God do it.
The pastor was saying, God will put into office who he wants. And Richard says, well, God can put those chairs away if he wants to have them put away.
Put them out,
exactly.
Do whatever. But
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's an excuse. Sorry, it's just an excuse to retreat. God will make everything happen. The Bible is full of places where good, righteous people had to actually go and fight and sometimes die in order to preserve freedom. It's just a pathetic excuse just to say, oh, well, God will make everything right. God works through people.
People's eyes have been opened. That gives me encouragement that people will get out and vote for the most righteous candidate. The public schools have played a role in the demise eyes of this culture because they have completely gotten rid of God. So many kids think homosexual marriage is fine.
We homeschooled our kids. Their minds and souls are intact, and they're straight-thinking people now. But yes, I think public school and then the colleges are worse. It's just insane. You're paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year to have your children corrupted and brainwashed. It's crazy. But the way we teach everything, not just the way we teach the origins of life, but the way we teach about history and the way we teach government, psychology, are really reeking of this atheistic worldview. And then they go through 4 years at least of radically leftist atheistic colleges in this country, for the most part, are nests of radical left-wing, really indoctrination, very reminiscent of what they do in China that Mao Zedong put in place, where they basically are forming your personality and using peer pressure to get you to change the way you think and feel about very deep things. So good being evil and evil looking like it's good and the schools having a major role in that, yes, they have a gigantic role.
Remember that one girl who said her generation was incapable of discerning evil from good?
Yeah, they couldn't even make a judgment. It was after 9/11. She was in one of these elite colleges and they were all discussing it the next day and they couldn't say that the terrorists were bad. Maybe it was our fault, but she said it was scary because they had no concept of good and evil and could not make a judgment about this horrendous act.
That could only come from extreme indoctrination. Common sense tells you these people are mass murderers. You have to really be pumped full of a whole worldview that makes you sympathetic toward the terrorist and hateful toward America. This is Marxism 101. Capitalism is evil. That means no matter what, no matter how you try to fine-tune it, it's just plain evil and selfish and exploitive and has to be destroyed. It's a little bit scary because this is the United States of America, where people fought and died to contain the same philosophy in Vietnam and Korea.
Let me give some examples from your book, What Evil Is. Anybody in Saddam Hussein's Iraq who criticized him or his government would get their tongues cut out. In North Korea, the penalty for owning a radio is torture and life in prison just for possessing a radio in the communist workers' paradise.
What's really scarier than having people like Hitler is having an entire nation follow them. We always have crazy people, okay? But millions of people following psychopaths, that's really the more important question. We can't stop crazy people from trying to lead us astray, but we don't have to follow them.
Let me just say, the United States, you wrote in your book, has a history of personal freedom unlike any nation in history. And yet many have been taught in our universities that the self-evident truths the founders relied upon are nothing but outdated and dangerous myths.
That's right. The founders of the modern education system were Marxist socialists, and it was like termites under the foundation of our house, eating away the foundation. And in the 60s, it all came out, and we saw it. Radical liberation movements, all coming from the left. Sexual liberation movement, gay liberation, to the point that we now have the left is in control of education, entertainment industry, of the news media. There's no doubt about that now.
You know, something that's more overt and sinister is how they're drugging all these little boys today with Ritalin. That is just so sinister, really. These little kids are just fidgeting. They're doing normal little boy things. Like you said, Winston Churchill would probably have been put on Ritalin. That's evil.
Yeah, it really is. And we really don't even know long-term what we're doing to these people. The 4 to 9 million children, two-thirds of them boys, that are on Ritalin and other dangerous...
Wait a minute. Let's not rush by that. This is incredible. There are between 4 to 9 million American school children diagnosed with ADHD and who take Ritalin and other mind-controlling drugs. This is incredible. Ritalin is taken by children for this ADD and ADHD, which are conditions that did not exist until the 1980s. So you really have to wonder if it's a made-up disease.
Yeah, you have to wonder. Even if you grant that there are extreme cases where you just got to do something because it's really hurting this kid's life, but this is radically overdiagnosed and overprescribed. Actually, the U.S. Congress and many state legislatures agree with me on that because they've passed legislation saying, knock it off, you hapless school administrators and teachers who can't handle normal little boy behavior. So he doesn't want to sit still and listen to a boring teacher talk about something he's not interested in for 6 hours. And when he can't do that and he gets up and he fidgets and he walks around or he blurts out, we say, oh, well, he's not behaving properly. Excuse me, that's how little boys are meant to behave. Look, my son is 18. He's a sharp kid. He's an Eagle Scout, soon to have his black belt in karate. We homeschooled him. If he had been in public school, I have no doubt he would have been diagnosed as ADHD and wanted to be put on drugs. straight A's. He's a smart kid. He's doing fine. He knows right from wrong. He was spared the horror of being pumped up on Ritalin because we didn't have him in school all those years.
Yeah, but isn't this a sad thing? Think how many Christians send their kids to public schools because they're supposedly free. All these kids that could have turned out so much better with the Lord incorporated God's ideals into their life. I mean, these kids that are homeschooled have a different mindset.
Yes, that's how people think. They, hey, we went to public school. We turned out fine. So maybe the way they turned out is exactly why they think it's okay for their kids. They don't understand what's happening in the public school. They don't understand what's the worldview that's being pumped through that school system.
Yeah, and we also heard some other fellow say, well, I went to public school, but had I been instructed in God's ways my whole life and been Christian educated, think of how many more people might have been influenced for the gospel and how many people may not be in hell because of it.
I loved your description, how you stood on a bluff in Oregon overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and you said you breathed in that sea air and you looked at the endless ocean, looked at the seagulls, looked at the sand, and you thought, how could anybody not believe in a creator? And yet that's what schools teach. They teach kids to deny their eyes and believe what Charles Darwin says.
Quite an amazing feat. I live in the Pacific Northwest. I'm looking out my window right now. I'm seeing these big, huge trees. Try to explain to me how the tree came about. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. The whole idea of evolution, which is so counterintuitive, that's not what we see. It's not even scientific. Underneath all the scientific posturing, you're talking about a fairy tale for adults who just don't want to believe in God.
Oh, that's well put. And so I would say one of the most evil things that ever happened is for schools to take away their Christian kids' beliefs and values, to take away their patriotism and their love of God. I loved your quote by Marcus Cicero, the great Roman statesman. 2,000 years ago, he foretold the decline of Rome when he said these words, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive the treason from within. For a traitor appears not as a traitor, yet he rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly in the night to undermine the pillars of the city." And I'm afraid many of our public schools are doing that. They're undermining kids' beliefs in patriotism and love of God.
You know, I appreciate you guys because you have evidently read the book. A lot of hosts have not read the book, but you're like reading all these really nice passages from the book. I appreciate that.
In fact, on page 85, let's talk about God for a minute. When I say God, I'm not talking about an impersonal cosmic being, a remote, vague, higher power, but I'm talking about the living God who created the universe with its elegant solar systems and exploding fireballs. I'm talking about God, the one who fashions all matter out of miniature, tiny solar systems. Each drop of water, each particle of dirt, each snowflake is composed of trillions of tiny moons or electrons orbiting tiny planets or atomic nuclei. Do you remember that part?
Yes. Oh, well, keep going. I love science. Things orbiting other things, the moon around the Earth and Earth around the sun and all that. But that's the same thing going on down at the atomic level. Little moons going around little planets. We call them electrons going around nuclei. Another name for worship is just appreciation. It's a genuine appreciation for God and what he does. And that he can effortlessly spin this creation into existence that a single blade of grass or a dandelion has more complexity in it. If you go right down to the atomic level and all the things spinning around everything else and the patterns there, that is more complex, that one blade of grass, than all of the supercomputers in the world combined. All the technology we have combined does not equal the complexity of a blade of grass.
Elizabeth Barrett Browning put it this way, every bush is a burning bush, like Moses in front of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 4, aflame with God.
Boy, that's beautiful. We really do walk past miracles and we don't recognize them. We need to have a nice dose of appreciation for God to kind of recharge our batteries so we can go in and make some sense of all the craziness in our world and make a difference, at the very least, to kind of protect and guide our families and take our country back because it's really sorely in need of being taken back.
Lincoln said, the philosophy in the classroom in this generation will be the philosophy in government in the next. And that's what we're seeing play out. All of this socialism, all of this corruption of the morals, it all began in public schools. We started this program.
The progressive takeover of public education, Dewey and Thorndike and that whole crowd, basically a bunch of people that didn't believe in God. And when you don't believe in God, things just seem sane, seem crazy. Things just seem crazy. crazy, seem sane, and that's the kind of people that took over public education.
If people in this country want to have a real revolution, make it an education revolution where the Christians educate their own children, that would bring a true revolution.
Yeah, amen to that.
Give us a conclusion.
We're here to live unto God. If we do, we're going to have the best influence we possibly can. And even if the worst case scenario, things get darker, we can still live unto God, live a righteous life. So you win either way.
David Capellan is the author of The Snapping of the American Mind. We are in a spiritual war, and all the spiritual powers of evil have come against this nation. But as the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:13 said, put on the full armor of God, so that when the evil powers attack you, you will be able to stand. Pastor Richard Wurmbrandt, founder of the Voice of the Martyrs and author of Tortured for Christ, wrote, reason tells you your fight is in vain. Just as reason told David Goliath would kill him. But God never loses. Fight, he said, even if it's hopeless, and leave the victory to Christ. We see things as they are. God sees what they will become. Communism is a religion of hate. Christianity is a relationship of love.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1898, The Left Isn't Right. That's number 1898, The Left Isn't Right. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website, or you can download a podcast. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.